Well, folks, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio someone who is next door at the Fireside Bookstore doing a book signing, has many books, Judy Ferguson.
Yes.
And how did you start? Where that's very often the piece that helps us to understand where you are. And for listeners, when did you write your first book?
I wrote my first book in 2002, but there's a big backstory behind that.
Oh, let's have the backstory.
My husband and I raised three children with boat and dog sled access only up the Tanana River. We lived a subsistence lifestyle for most of our adult lives.
Okay.
I knew nothing about professional writing. Writing had always been a part of my being, but this is a second life for me, at least, maybe a fourth.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't get started until late in life. I'm 72, so this started in 2002.
Okay. And you say that you have had writing as part of your life. So you kept a journal, you wrote.
Yes, I did. I kept a journal. It was always therapeutic for me. It was a natural outlet for me, always.
Okay. So the first book, let's talk a little bit about that. How did you go from the writing that you were doing, had been doing, to actually creating a book and having it published?
Well, let me put it this way. I wrote for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner as a freelance columnist for about 13 years.
Okay.
And did lots and lots of features for Heartland Magazine that was started by Tricia Brown, actually. Mm-hmm. And I had the Alaskana column for the Anchorage Daily News for about 2.5 years. So, backing up, I came in one day to Rika's Roadhouse, where friends of mine were the concessionaires for the Roadhouse, and was describing a caribou hunt my husband and two children had just had. It was scary, wild, and so forth. And I was being dramatic and explaining the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And my friend Diana said very exasperatedly to me, "Why don't you write? We have all these people who come up from the lower 48 and they think they've experienced Alaska in a year's time or summer's time and go back and write a book." And she said, "If you will begin writing," she said, "I will edit and help, you know, teach me the art." And anyway, a Christmas story contest came up in the News Miner in 1995 or 96, and I knew it was my open door. So I contacted the editor. She was new. I was new. We were perfect for each other. Patricia Watts, she shaped me, and I worked for her for 13 or 14 years.
Oh.
And so the book came out of that. So the second stage then is my friends ran Rika's Roadhouse. They needed to have a book about Rika's Roadhouse history. I was active with Center for the Book in Anchorage at some level, long distance from Delta. And people were doing Alaska history, of course. Personally, I thought it was maybe a little bit boring. Of course, I have changed entirely about that now. And my friend who helped run Rika's Roadhouse asked me if I would be interested, because by that time I had a column for the News Miner, if I would be interested in doing a book on the history of Rika's Roadhouse. Initially, I thought, how dry and how boring. And then later I go, no, that's a good idea. So that's a long story in itself, because I had never done research or any of that. And my friend suggested that I do it in installments for the News Miner in my column. That's what I did. I prayed about whether I should get into something that might be over my head. I felt like that the Lord said, "Go ahead and I will open the windows of heaven." He absolutely did, and everything was just downloaded and available to me. It was amazing.
Okay.
So that was the beginning.
So we said, or I said, you've written a number of books.
Eight. And I'm in process right now. The Yukon Koyukuk School District contracted with me to write a new book for them on, I think it's 10, Living Athabascan Mushers. And so that'll be available to print. And they're going to own the books, so they'll do the printing as opposed to how my other books are. And that will be ready to go to print in August 2019, if not sooner. And then I'm also working on an Alaska wildland fire history, because my husband and son, That's what they do and have done for their careers. So it's a natural thing for me to want to do the research on that.
Okay. So we have the future book. We have the first book.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a theme that connects the books in between?
Yes. Because we lived subsistence, you know, we're people of the earth,
right,
so to speak. And also because my husband decided for us to go down the Yukon River in 1975. I had no idea at the age of 29 that all that existed. It changed my life completely. And so my themes are the land and the Alaska Native, pretty much. I also have a longtime connection. It's a whole nother story with the Balkans. And so I got into, and Rika's Roadhouse was built by John Hajdukovic. I got into my, I don't remember what number book it is. It was one I did for statehood anniversary called Bridges to the Land, or Bridges to the, statehood. And so I call it the Vich book. It's Stepovic, Hajdukovic, Miskovic, Jakovic, Paratovic, Begich. And so it's the connection between former Yugoslavia and Alaska, something that is quite esoteric, but very appropriate for Alaska history.
Whoa.
Yeah, because those people have been very intrinsic here and have been here since the gold rush, most of them. And nobody ever thought about where they came from. And if they think about it, they think they're Russian, but they're not. Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
So who would you say is most interested in reading your books?
Well, it is really a difficult time period now with people not reading anymore. Mm-hmm. And I would find it's people who have a lively mind,
okay,
people who have who look around, who ask questions, who are interested. And one of the things that drives me is to know how all the pieces of the puzzle fit together in the life that we live here. I was a young woman when Alaska Native land claims was happening.
Right.
And I understood, you know, what was swimming around me a little bit, but I really didn't. And so part of what is fascinating to me is to understand the world in which I have lived my life and to see how all the pieces fit together.
So you have reflected a bit about how you were back then when you were starting.
Mm-hmm.
Having gone through this process of writing books, et cetera, how would you say you have changed?
Well, that's an interesting question. It gives a person confidence and pleasure and joy to find a niche in which they fit, and it's satisfying, and you feel flourishing. On the other hand, as I said, I'm 72. I still love to research. I still like to write very much. However, I'm getting really tired of hitting the road and selling. And I have other things that I would like to do. I figure in 14 years, I'll be 85.
Right.
That's not very much time. So
right.
I have other things that I would like to do. Problem is that my curiosity. And I should name my books. Do you want me to list the books?
Go for it.
So the ones about the Alaska Native at the adult level are Windows to the Land, an Alaska Native Story, Volume 1, Alaska Native Land Claims Trailblazers. I published that in 2013, and it's the untold story of the trailblazers of Alaska Native land claims, particularly focusing on Tananaw chiefs. However, Southeast certainly began land claims, but it was entirely different through Court of Claims, whereas Alaska Native land claims went through the U.S. Congress. The two movements merged shortly before AFN finalized with land claims. It is the beauty of both of the books are twofold. One is that they are a rich mosaic of all of the state. Our state is the size of a small country with, like, I don't know, five different geozones, all the myriad of Alaska Native cultures, and it's a fascinating Garden of Eden, so to speak, in which we live. So it's very, I consider the Alaska Natives who present in my two books my teachers, my windows to the land. Then the second book, which I published in 2016, is Windows to the Land, An Alaska Native Story, Volume 2, Iditarod and Alaska River Trails, is focusing on the use of land and water and a subfocus on Indigenous sports. Katie John is on the front cover with the subsistence issue that went to the Supreme Court, and of course she won. And then on the back cover, you have the early Alaska Native champions of the Iditarod, George Atla, Herbie Nyakpuk, Emmett Peters, Ken Chase, Rose Albert, Don Honey, and you also have World Eskimo Indian Olympics winners Reggie Jewell, Big Bob Aiken, longtime manager Chris Anderson, and Tyler Huntington of Yukon 800 and Iron Dog. In both books, it's not exclusive to the theme that I have just recited, because not all of the cultures had those themes as an issue, but that is the major focal point.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Pretty comprehensive. And, you know, when I was a little girl, I made little books. Well, I'm not much different now. I like to do the layout. I want things to fit together, where I want Alaska history to be palatable, user-friendly to the general public. I have archival photos on every page. I have an index. I have color-coded maps for every chapter so the reader always knows where he is. And then at the end of most of the chapters, I have a timeline with the evolution of the Great Land, our benchmark dates that are relevant to that particular chapter. So the reader should have no problem fitting how this piece of the puzzle fits in with the overall whole. And the fact that it's personable, the person sharing his own story, so it's fun, you know, it's personal.
Sure.
And each person edited his own chapter. So it's like 45 little books in one. So it's quite, they own the book in that sense. Each one of them owned his own chapter.
Very interesting. So as people are looking, listening to what we're talking about, you're describing and reading your books and so on, what kind of encouragement would you give to other people who might be still interested in writing and have some other areas, because not all things have been written about yet?
Not by any means. And there are all kinds of voices that still need to be recorded. But every time I get sort of interested, you know, when they begin to tell me their story or something pricks my curiosity, I go, no, I'm not doing it. And I choke chain myself. I don't want to be a downer, but I got in at a really good period of time. Even earlier would have been better, maybe, or good. This is a tough time now. The a distributor who handled people like me in the state of Alaska, Partners West, went bankrupt. Ooh. So now it's very difficult for an author or a small publisher, because I am a small publisher, to be able to get a distributor for the chain stores. I still have a distributor for places like Safeway and Walmart and Fred Meyer, but even they are losing lots of shelf space and stores. As you can see, the struggle that's happened with our major newspapers, right. It's a very tough time for in-print people. And yes, all of my books are e-books, and I should go ahead and list the rest of the books. The three children's books are Alaska's Secret Door, Alaska's Little Chief, Alaska's First People. They are nonfiction, and they present Alaska as it really is and have living Indigenous elders. My point of view is that we only get one shot in life, and I started it toward the end of my life. So I want to present from a heart of truth and not from a heart of what sells necessarily. That's not my motivating purpose. Then the adult books, I have five titles. I have Parallel Destinies, which is Rika's Roadhouse. But it's the development of the corridor from Valdez to Fairbanks. Then I have Blue Hills, which is the story of our wilderness family and the classical people I've known for most of 50 years here in Alaska. I've already mentioned Bridges to Statehood, which is the Alaska-Yugoslav. But I also include the Alaska-Jewish thread and then some of the Eastern Europeans like Paul Gavora. And then I already described the two Native books. So where there's a will, there's a way, okay, as far as people who want to get into the business themselves. I firmly believe in praying about it and having the way revealed to you of how to find your way to express and fulfill your destiny about what you want to do with your life. I also tell people that they have a choice. They either can work a job or they make this their job, because it really is a trade-off. I mean, you can't have everything. If you go the conventional route, as most people do, where they have a publisher who also distributes for them and will probably do the layout and do the whole thing, two things. They're going to shape it the way they want it, and they're going to get the majority of the profit. And they will also choose, as will the retail outlets, who takes your book and who doesn't. So just because you have a distributor doesn't mean that they're going to place your books. That's an assumption that one can make wrongly. Or a person can work their fanny off, as have I, and I get a decent living. You know, it's really okay. I'm certainly not getting rich, mm-hmm. but I'm also not the breadwinner in the family, and that's an important factor as well. So I still believe that it can happen, but I think a person should go ahead and launch out. You don't learn to swim if you don't jump in, but just be advised that it's not the fairy tale world that you think it might be in terms of 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Mike Malevsky here. I've been talking with Judy Ferguson. We've been talking about her experience writing a whole series of books. In the last minute or so, we have any last comments?
God bless you, and may you fulfill your own destiny.
Thank you very much, Judy.
Thank you.
And you're going to be not only at Fireside Books, but you're going to be somewhere else this weekend.
State's largest book fair at the Anchorage Museum, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Come on down. It has a wonderful Christmassy atmosphere. There will be a lot of sculptors, jewelers, and that sort of thing downstairs, and authors and publishers upstairs. And I just finished the Arts and Crafts Emporium show last weekend, so that's why I'm down here in this neighborhood.
All right. Well, thank you, Judy.
Thank you.